Charlotte Elliott was born March of 1789 in Clapham, England. For the first 30 years of her life, she was a very happy and cheerful artist and musician, living her life to the fullest. She even had a nickname. Her friends called her Carefree Charlotte. But then in 1819, Charlotte's health suddenly began to fail. Her body was attacked by a very debilitating illness that forced her to spend nearly every day in bed. Charlotte once described her illness this way. These are her own words. She said, "It's like having feelings of overpowering weakness, sluggishness, and exhaustion. Day after day, hour after hour, great is my physical suffering." Overcome by the crippling fatigue of her illness, Charlotte became very depressed and very despondent. She essentially became an invalid confined to her home, which in turn caused her to become very bitter. Very bitter at the world, very bitter at her family, even very bitter toward God. Her youth and her vibrancy had been taken away, and her very poor health had rendered her, in her own words, virtually useless. In 1822, though, Charlotte's father invited a preacher to come be a guest in their home in hopes that he might help Charlotte to kind of break through some of her feelings of despair and maybe help to regain her faith in God. But Charlotte would have none of it. She lashed back at her family for not being sympathetic about her plight. She criticized the preacher and, in fact, began to curse God because the cruelty that he's had toward her. Charlotte even said on that occasion, "If God loved me, he wouldn't have treated me this way." The preacher just sat very silently through that entire outburst, and after a few moments, he finally decided to interject and to say something. He then said to her, "You're tired of yourself, aren't you?" Charlotte then asked, "What do you mean?" The preacher said, "You're holding on to your hate and your anger because you have nothing else in the world to cling to. And consequently, you've become sour and bitter and resentful." Charlotte stewed on that for a moment, and she then asked, "Then what do you suggest is the cure?" The preacher then replied to her, "You need the faith that you are trying so hard to despise." At that point, Charlotte finally softened a little bit, began to open up a little bit to the preacher, unpacking many of the pent-up feelings that she had had about her illness and about her situation. Ultimately, she ended up asking the preacher, "If I wanted to become a Christian, and if I wanted to have the peace and the joy that you seem to have, what would I need to do? How exactly would I go about that?" The preacher replied to her, "You'd need to give yourself to God just as you are right now, with your fightings and your fears, your hates and your loves, your pride and your shame." "Just as I am right now," Charlotte asked, "that I would come to God just as I am." You hear it in there, don't you? You know the rest of the story. 14 years later, as Charlotte was reminiscing on that conversation, the words of the preacher came flooding back into her mind, and it prompted her to sit down and to pen a 7-stanza poem that ended up in many ways just becoming the spiritual autobiography of her life. It was entitled, "Just As I Am." And in fact, if you want to open up your songbook to number 813, I'm going to talk about this song momentarily. Charlotte actually published an entire book of poetry in 1836. It was entitled The Invalid's Handbook, and this poem was the most well-regarded and the most well-known and the most beloved of all the poems in that book. "Just As I Am" eventually found its way into the hands of William Bradbury, who set the lyrics to some music, and he published it in a hymn book for the very first time in 1849. Ever since then, here we are, over 170 years later, "Just As I Am" has been sung in countless churches all around the world. It has been referred to as the greatest soul-winning hymn of all time. In fact, Billy Graham, he very famously used it during his crusades. He used it as his invitation theme to invite people to come forward and to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. And it is amazing to think about that it was from the mind and from the heart of a bedridden young woman, someone who was once so full of anger, so full of bitterness, so full of resentment and hostility, that it was from that mind and that heart that this powerful song was born. In fact, Charlotte's brother, who was a preacher, he actually said this. He said, "In all my years of preaching, I've not done so much nearly as good as my sister has been doing by writing that one hymn. And so here we are for more than 170 years now. This song continues to resonate with people from every walk of life. And I do think that this song's greatest strength is that it just has just a universal appeal in its call to all people. And don't misunderstand me, I do believe that all of the great invitation songs that we sing, they are universal in their call, but there's just something different about this one. There's something that just speaks to people in this song, that phrase, "just as I am." I think that says to people, I know what it says to me, it says, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what's happened in your life, doesn't matter what's going on in your life presently, you can come to Jesus. And that is very appealing. Whether you're smart or whether you're dumb, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're a male or a female, whether you're young or you're old, whether you're healthy or whether you're sick like she was, it doesn't matter. You can come to Jesus just as you are. And I don't know about you, but that does appeal to me on a very personal level. Because throughout my life, I have found that not everybody accepts me just as I am. For example, in third grade, I asked Emily Potter if she would be my girlfriend. She said, "No, you have red hair." When I was 13, I wanted to try out for the school basketball team. Coach Scott looked at me and he said, "I'm sorry, you're too short." This was a year before I hit my growth spurt. Even in high school, my junior year, I took C.W. Van Zandt's chemistry class. He was the toughest teacher in the entire school. And for the first time, I brought home a C on my report card. My mom and dad were disappointed. Even though I told them I did the very best that I could do, they were still let down. I disappointed them. What I found is that all throughout my life, everywhere that I went, everyone that I encountered, people have a difficult time with accepting me just as I am. And I think in a lot of ways, that's the way we as human beings are. We tend to kind of just look for the flaw. We're looking for the defect. We're looking for the abnormality, the thing that makes us say, "Oh yeah, you're great, but what about this? Hey, yeah, that's pretty good that you can do that, but there's this thing over here." That's why the invitation of Jesus is so alluring. Because what the Lord says is that you can come to me, you can come to me warts and all, just as you are. In fact, you come to me just as you are because in essence, that's all that you have. Look at the first verse of this song. "Just as I am, without one plea." I don't have anything that I can bring to Jesus. There's nothing that I can bring to the Lord that's going to impress Him. In fact, I can't even bring lots of works of righteousness. Paul talks about that in Titus 3 and in verse 5. I can't bring Him a whole bunch of works of righteousness, and the Lord's just going to start falling all over Himself. "Oh my, you're just the greatest thing I've ever seen." No, there's nothing that I can bring to the Lord without one plea. The only thing that I have is the knowledge that it is Jesus' blood that was shed for me and that He's now bidding me to come to Him. Which is why, verse 2, I dare not wait. I dare not wait for one moment. Because it is only Jesus who can remove from my soul that dark blot, that stain that the Bible talks about in a number of places, that stain that has ruined me. It's tarnished the image of God in my life. It has separated me from my God. And it is only the precious blood of Jesus, like that of a lamb without spot, that is able to make me clean. And Jesus invites me to come even knowing all that. Even though He knows that I am a sinner. Even though He knows that I've done all kinds of things that have disappointed Him, He invites me to come. It's the opportunity to be brought into fellowship with Him and to have a relationship with Him. And He knows that as well, even though He knows I've got a lot of baggage, that I'm tossed with many conflicts, many doubts, as verse 3 talks about, many fightings and fears, all kinds of raging that happens inside the human heart and mind. Even though I've allowed the devil to pull me in every possible direction except the right direction, Jesus says, "I still want you." Jesus says that I want you to come just as you are. I got to tell you, that is amazing to me. That is profound to me. That is the kind of unconditional love that motivates a person to want to make a change. In fact, to turn that corner, the Bible word for that is to repent. To come to Jesus so that He can help rid me of those doubts, rid me of those fears, rid me of all of those things that make me less than what I can be. And so I come. I come, verse 4, knowing that He will receive me. I come in full assurance of faith, confident in what the Scriptures teach about Him, that He will welcome me, that He will pardon me, that He will cleanse me and relieve me from that heavy weight and burden of sin. I believe His promises, and so I come. I believe that He is indeed that Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, as John the Baptist said in John chapter 1 and in verse 29. I believe that He will do that, and so I come. And I come compelled by just the overwhelming love of Christ. Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 14 that it is the love of Christ that compels us. It controls us. It motivates us to live for Him and to live for Him alone. As the last stanza goes on to talk about, to be His, to truly be a child of God. I love that. I love the fact that Jesus' love is able to rip and tear down every single hindrance, every barrier, every excuse or justification that we might use to keep from coming to Him. It is the love of Christ that compels us. Now, as amazing as I think all of that is, and I think this song just well summarizes a lot of wonderful ideas, let me tell you that there is a catch to all of this. This business of just as I am, it's so appealing. And I think a lot of people in the world love to hear that idea, but I'm afraid that they kind of stop short. They don't take it all the way to its logical conclusion. I can indeed come to Jesus just as I am, but here's the catch. I can't continue just as I am. Because what Jesus wants to do is He wants to do some remodeling. He wants to change me. He wants to renovate me. He wants to improve me. He wants to mold me and to shape me into His image. He wants me to leave sin behind. He wants me to put on that armor of Christ that we sang about. He wants us to pursue after things like righteousness and holiness and godliness and purity, the things that separate God's people from the rest of this world. And the fact is, with the help of the Savior, I can do that. I would never be able to do that on my own. I'd never be able to do that simply with the help of another person or even a group of people. But with the help of Jesus, the Lamb of God, I can. And tonight, you have the opportunity to do just that yourself. You have the opportunity to make the words of this song your very own. We're going to sing this song. Caleb's going to lead us in it here in just a moment. We're going to sing all five stanzas of this beautiful song. And you have the opportunity tonight to, yes, come to Jesus just as you are. Whatever your baggage is, whatever it is that you're packing and carrying, hey, you come to Jesus and bring it. But you get to leave it right there. You get to leave it at the cross and let Jesus cleanse you when you respond to Him in an obedient faith. If there's someone here this evening who has yet to put Jesus Christ on in baptism tonight, we would love to hear you confess Christ as the Son of God and then put Him on in the waters of baptism so that you can become the child of God, His and His alone. Can we help you to do that? Brother or sister, if there's sin in your life and you're not living as you should, this is the time for you. Come to Jesus just as you are. Let us pray with you and encourage you so that you can be made right with Him once more and live in a better way from this day forward. We implore you through the words of this song, won't you come? Do that right now while we stand and while we sing.